You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
So you join us this morning in Romans 12, verse 3. So we've had the whole of the first 11 chapters where the mercies of God have been expounded on, that Jesus, the King, has come, that he's calling a people to himself, not based on our status or background or what we can bring, but out of a faith that he gifts to these people. And in his faithfulness, we now find ourselves as those called righteous, right before God. And we are now united in Jesus, in his death and his resurrection. So as Gillian brought, sin now has no hold on us. We've been adopted in as sons and daughters, co-heirs with him, and his love poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which we now groan with creation, but we're full of hope because now nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. For those of us who've placed our faith in him, we've now been grafted in to a people and a promise that we had no right to be a part of, but there was pure grace and mercy from start to the end. And so Paul finishes off and says, well, almost I can't put into words, it's too amazing. God's mercies and his mysteries are so beautiful. So we come to chapter 12 and he says, so therefore, give yourselves, your bodies, your lives, in worship, in response. Have your mind transformed according to this perspective, all that has kind of gone before. And a response like this morning should be, yes, of course, this makes sense, this lines up. Oh, wow, you've invited me into this as a free gift. Of course, I give myself to you, God. You are worthy. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of my life, my affection. And so then we're faced with the question of, great, but how does that quite work out? Unfortunately for us, Paul then starts to kind of paint this picture of what that looks like, of the mercy of God working out within the community and the world for the next few chapters. So that's where we're going to be for the next few weeks in Romans. Not so much of like, we're done with the God bit and now here's how you live your life. Rather, how does this stuff burst out and flow into everything that goes on? So Lola's going to come and read us the passage this morning. So let's listen and see what God has to say to us today.
For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll be heaping burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amazing. Thanks so much. There's lots in there, isn't there? So just to help us to kind of understand where we're going today. So it starts off with this kind of sober assessment of self and then moves into talking about the body of many parts. We've already touched on that this morning, haven't we? And God's gracious giving of gifts. Then there's that beautiful phrase, the centrality almost, let love be sincere. And then after that kind of outworks this kind of rich array that this works out in the church. So that's kind of where we're going this morning. So we won't touch on absolutely everything, but we'll kind of try and get a sense of what God's wanting to do today. But it touches on quite a lot of how this being a people who are kind of shaped by the mercy of God works out, and works out in actually quite real ways in a community. Now, I don't know about you what your kind of perception of church is, but probably if you ask the kind of regular punter out there, they probably just kind of categorize it probably as just another kind of pick or choose community based on your own sort of identity. You're a Christian, okay, you go to church. But actually, what God is wanting to do is so much more glorious with his people. And I want us to see that today. Don't just think it's just this other society that you do, and I just turn up in the same ways. But actually, it's so subversive and different how God is shaping his people. So let's just pray and ask that he would open our eyes to that this morning, because we need the Holy Spirit to do that for us. God, open our eyes to your love and grace at work in and through us as your people this morning. Awaken our hearts, enliven our desires to what you are doing. And even as we reflect on your word, we pray that you would mold us in the ways of your self-giving love by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. So we start here. Sober judgment. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to you. In the kingdom of God, in the community of believers, there's no room for egos. There's no room for people more important than anyone else based on what you give, what you bring, what your role is, how clever you are, what your background is, whether you've been here for ages, whether you're whatever, you name it, no sense of importance, egos. Rather, think of yourself according to the faith God has distributed. Now, that's a bit of a kind of confusing phrase maybe to think, but I think that Eugene Peterson in his paraphrase opens this up quite helpfully. It says, living then as each one of you does in pure grace, it's important that you do not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. In the earlier chapters, Paul's been almost at pains to emphasize this sense that God's called a people not based on their status or their behavior or their works, but that God has gifted this sense of faith, this word pistis, which means almost like trust in God. John Barclay helpfully kind of used an example of trust and faith being like bankruptcy. So what's to boast in bankruptcy? There's no boasting, is there? It's stupid. Our faith is a sense of, God, I have absolutely nothing to bring. I've come to the end of myself. I throw it, therefore, all on you. I trust you. And so we get to come like that, friends, with a sense of, I'm not bringing anything, but God has done wonderful things. In fact, God's done such wonderful things that he has to address it to these people to say, don't think of yourselves too highly, because they're like, whoa, it's amazing, we're adopted, we're co-heirs. But it wasn't your work, it was God's work in you. So think of yourselves in that way. This is the starting point for all that's to come in terms of the body and gifts and loving one another. It's almost that kind of elementary bit that you need to kind of get before you kind of pass, because otherwise you're going to get in all sorts of problems if what you're bringing is based on, oh, well, I'm actually a somebody, here is my gift, or like, I'm a nobody, I'd have no status here. No, come according to this. So if you come in this morning thinking you're more important than anybody else, beware, repent. But for the rest of us, how liberating is it that we get to be based not on a trait or a background or being one of the popular ones or anything, but we get to come based on faith that God has given each one of us. We referenced that, didn't we? Coming to the table. You can't be a pro. You can't be better than anyone else. You can't be better at being baptized. Now, if you wouldn't call yourself a Christian this morning, actually, just by placing your faith and trust in Jesus, you can come as an equal inheritor, therefore, of the promises of God as anyone else, than the Archbishop of Canterbury, the Pope. Like, God is doing an amazing thing in bringing us to him in faith in Jesus. And so, therefore, he moves on to the body of many parts. We are one body. It's wonderful. It's an illustration that Paul uses on quite a number of occasions, actually, across lots of books. It's obviously a really important thing for him to get across, because you could almost be forgiven for thinking, okay, Paul's called us and said, give your lives and your bodies as living sacrifices, and so therefore, what does it mean for me? How do I now live my life so that I maximize my potential and do my thing for God? But rather, Paul's focus initially is the body. It's a corporate thing that outworks there because we're joined to Christ. We're members of one another. That's a really, really strong word, isn't it? Members of one another. So, Ashika, you're a member of Mikey. And Mikey, you're a member joined to Emily. Emily, you're joined. We're all joined to one another. It's wonderful. It's a mystery that God does this thing. So whether you're the most committed attendee or you've rocked up for the first time today, actually, we are being formed as one body because we're in Christ and because God has declared that over us. We're aligned in Jesus, baptized into one body. But that's not like we're all kind of these same kind of robots that kind of come in into like this weird cult that we all have to be the same and do the same thing. No, there's diversity. It's beautiful. We don't have the same function, but yet we belong together. God gives dignity in our distinctiveness from many nations, skills, backgrounds, ages, passions, but we make most sense when those things come together. Like a body, like it makes sense together. Like if I'm the brain, I think, actually, I'm pulling a bit too much of my weight here. Like I feel as though I'm doing a bit too much of the work here. I think I can probably be all right on my own. I might as well just do away with this, really. It's not much good. Ceases to function. Or maybe like the small intestine. It's like, I don't even usually get referenced in these bits of the body. No one even knows really quite what I do. I'm not very important. No one really thinks of it. Might as well just disappear. Not, doesn't matter. Body ceases to function, doesn't it? So I hope you get the sense that God is doing this thing. Each one important to the whole, but making sense together in what God is building. And so as God graciously gifts faith amongst the community to each one. He doesn't just leave it there, but continues to outpour grace upon grace, giving different gifts according to the grace that is at work within each one. This kind of gift, charisma in the Greek, and grace, charis, they're intrinsically linked. There's a sense that this is favor that we receive without any merit of our own. It's not like, oh, I receive faith, but now I bring my gift, which is the gift of prophecy. No, God is at work within each one of us. So we don't get to take these things as kind of badges of honor for ourselves, but rather we get to pour them out for one another. So Paul lists a range of things, doesn't he, there? Prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. This isn't an exhaustive list. Elsewhere in the New Testament, Paul references a range of other things. Almost the point isn't the sense of it being exhaustive. It's rather the posture in continuity with what's been before and what goes on. So, if your gift is prophecy, then do that in a way that lines up with all that's been before, with the mercies of God, with a life that is given over in wholehearted worship to God, that's not focused on self, but that's mind is transformed and given over because you are joined to one another. If it is serving, then serve in light of all of the mercy and grace of God that is shown, out of worship to Him wholeheartedly with a transformed mind, not focused on myself, that I get identity from this, but in outpouring because we are joined to one another and God has given grace. If it's to teaching, then do it in the same way. If it is giving, do it in the same way, i.e. generously. God, like Paul's point is, do these things in lining up. Now, you don't need to be and do anything, do everything. I hope you get the picture there. Like, it's not like a one-man show who does everything. God has distributed this. In fact, you don't even need to do anything. It won't even increase your standing in the community. I hope you get that. But this isn't also stuff just to be sitting on passively, is it? Like, if God has given gifts to the community for the building up of one another, how beautiful is that? Just take a moment to reflect that. We don't get to be stingy or self-focused. This may be grace that God wants to extend to others. God showing grace to that person through each one of us. We get to be called into this thing that God is doing. So if there's anywhere at all where you think God might be giving the inciest little bit of grace, do it diligently, generously, cheerfully. Fight against that individualistic tendency to almost see it as like my way of self-actualizing of, yes, this is me being who I've created to be. Don't just do it as volunteering, but participate and grow in this sense of God's lavish grace at work within each one of us, given wholeheartedly in loving worship to Him. If you've been around City Church for a while, hopefully you can see some of this in operation. Like, I could probably spend about half an hour kind of listing ways, even in the last like month, I've seen different people operating in a sense of gifts. I'm at a buildings team meeting this evening, and every time I come to a buildings meeting, I'm like, thank you, God, that you've provided different gifts to the body. Thank you that it's not all on me to work out what to do with damp on the wall. Like, God has given huge range of grace gifts to us, from encouragement, teaching, singing, all sorts of things. Be encouraged. Let's keep going and doing that as a people. Now, maybe this morning you're coming thinking, I don't know what my gift is. Like, what do I quite bring? Well, to start off with, I guess what I'd say to you is, don't let that be a hindrance. That's not really the point of this passage in saying, okay, I get to a point where I've now got a personal identity marker of I am the prophet or I am the encourager. That's not really the point, I hope you can see. Rather, start with what's in your hands, what's in front of your nose. Is there someone you could talk to about Jesus? Do you have any money to give? Is there someone you could encourage? Because actually, I think gift sometimes is actually less about role and position as to living out who God has made you to be wherever you find yourself. Like, if you speak to a teacher and they're not, like, upfront teaching, they will exude the teaching gift that is given, like when you hang out with Al. That's what happens. Let's be who God has made us to be, for his glory and for one another. Now, just before we move on to the last bit, as I was preparing, I felt God might be wanting to speak to some people this morning who you feel like you're very much one for that kind of sober sense of judgment. You're like, I've got that down all right. I know I'm not all that much. But it almost looks like a sort of mental or kind of spiritual measuring stick that you get out. And you look at it and you kind of compare yourself to other people, maybe in the community or elsewhere. And so you say, oh yeah, sober judgment. Well, they're more gifted than me. They have more of a role than me. They're more eloquent than me. They have more friends than me. I feel like God this morning would want to say to you, gently but firmly, smash that stick to pieces. Smash it. Don't come back to it. Like, it does you absolutely no good, and it does the community no good either, actually. Whether you feel like you have more or less is not the point, because it's all God's grace anyway. Bring yourself and participate as a loved insider. That's who Jesus sees you as. It's who we see you as too. And so then we get on to sincere love. Let love be sincere. In the latter part of these verses, and to conclude our time today, Paul talks about the sincere love. It's almost literally in the Greek, it's like unhypocritical. It's like it matches up with itself. Is this just Paul's version of like love is love? Like just go with your what you feel. If I feel it, I need to be authentic to that. Well, actually, it's almost the opposite to that. Because the love here isn't the eros of human desire, but the Greek word is agape. Me and Lucy were working out, what is it? Agape? Agape? We'll go with agape. Defined by God's pure, self-giving love and action. How do we know what agape is? It says in 1 John. Well, Christ laid down his life for us. God so agapowed the world that he gave his only son. This is the essence. Agape is patient, kind, doesn't envy, doesn't boast, doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It always trusts, hopes, and perseveres. And in chapter 8 of Romans, as we've been in, Paul says that this agape has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So therefore, live consistently as those who have been won into this economy of agape, who are filled with the Spirit, which is pouring agape into your hearts. We receive this as God's shaping of his people. And so then he lists a barrage of ways. And I don't know whether if you read this and you don't have all the kind of precursor and stuff, it can just look like a list of really hard rules that just make you feel really guilty. It's like, extend hospitality here and give here and all these things. And you're like, oh, might as well just give up now. But read it in the context of a community that is filled with the Spirit, shown mercy upon mercy, adopted, no condemnation, fully loved, with love abounding and poured into our hearts. We receive this actually as God's animating and narration and shaping of us as his people. And by God's grace, this is the sort of people that we are becoming as City Church. We've not arrived. We will mess up. Don't hold this as a stick to measure us against. That's not the point. But yet, he is doing this by the power of his Holy Spirit. So let's receive it, brothers and sisters. And so to finish today, We're going to have a bit of a meditation on these final verses that Lucy's going to read to us. So, Lucy, do you want to come up? Let's just use this almost to reflect on what God may want to kind of stir in us. Let's be attuned to what the Holy Spirit might want to say. It might be you just kind of listen out for one word or phrase that God is wanting to speak to you personally this morning as he shapes us together in his ways. So you may want to close your eyes, just kind of have that kind of posture of openness. It's largely just kind of based on the last bits of the verses, but let's allow God to kind of speak to us and to meet with us as we do this.
Let agape abound. Pure, sincere, unhypocritical, lives that line up with the self-giving love of God. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Let agape abound. Be devoted to one another. Love one another with the affection of fam. Like what you'd feel for your own child or a special treasured possession. As God reframes family around the household of God, foster a genuine fondness for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let agape abound. Outdo one another in showing honour. You've seen cultures where honour for leaders is treasured. Do that absolutely, but this agape honour goes further still. It goes from everyone to everyone. If you're going to compete in anything, compete in how much you can regard others as more important than yourself. Let agape abound. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Don't be lazy or lukewarm. The kingdom isn't something that's casual. Rather, in your own insufficiency, seek the Spirit ardently to stir your fire for things of God. Let agape abound. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Find joy in eternal hope and persevere through the storms. Let agape abound. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Contribute financially. Your money and possessions are part of your spiritual joinedness to the people of God. So give generously as people who God has connected to one another. Let agape abound. Practice hospitality. Run towards it. Have a posture of openness, generosity without expectation of return. Build bonds of fellowship with an attitude of welcoming strangers as you would your best friends. Let agape abound. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Be connected in heart and emotion with those around you, not absorbed in your own world. Let agape abound. Bless those who persecute you. Love those who do wrong, you. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. Bless and do not curse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let agape abound. Do not be proud. Don't be above yourself. Associate with people and tasks of low standing. Live in harmony with one another. Inside and outside the church, don't stir up or harbour relational tensions, but as far as it depends on you, if it is possible, live at peace with everyone. Let agape abound. Pure, sincere, unhypocritical. Lives that line up with the self-giving love of God. Amen.
Amen. Great. That's where we are. Let's allow God to continue to kind of work in our hearts. And there's beautiful ways, manifold ways that we can kind of outwork some of those things this week. Great. Have a good afternoon, and we'll see you next week. Bless you guys.